Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I'm your host, Sim Terwilliger, and today we have Sam and Ben on the call.
Hello.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Hi, Sam.
I am so excited about this episode. We're calling it Mohela, Mo Problems, and we're going to be talking all things Mohela and everything that they've done wrong. You know, guys, I feel like, you know, we've probably heard this expression, like being a meteorologist, that's like the one job you can have and be wrong and you'll always have a job. And I'm like, you know what, we have to add like working for Mohela to that list, because I feel like they can do whatever they want. And so far, I haven't seen any big repercussions. Let's talk about some stuff that you guys are seeing, though, with clients, what they've been dealing with and how we've been kind of working through some of those issues. So Sam, how about you kick things off and tell us some things you've been seeing that our clients have been dealing with?
We're actually speaking now just like short of a week of the announcement of the IDR recertification pause extension. And I think a lot of our frustration with Mohela over the last 3 months, and I know Ben on this call has some personal frustration with them too, has stemmed from just like lack of communication and just understanding the process. And I think that is what happens when you do hire people rapidly and not necessarily get them up to speed and train them. It's going to just lead to just potential mass errors and oversights, especially when you're communicating with borrowers on a reoccurring basis, right? And so I think we're going to dive in, but we've seen everything from like the delays to lack of communication that has led to frustration. And also just we have some scary stories of potential forgiveness that has been what we're seeing on the internet, unforgiven, right? So diving into that. But I'll start off with some specifically relating to the PSLF, right? Public Service Loan Forgiveness. Once you reach your 120, you know, 10-year mark of qualifying credits, right, with having the right type of repayment and also having the qualifying employment, you submit your final employer verification form. And 2 to 3 months later, in normal times, right, you get that notification, like your loans have been forgiven, right? And square, you move on from there, get past this part of your life. But we're hearing some reports that whether it was close to 6 months or to a year later, Mohela came back and actually put them back into repayment. And really, when we're going down this rabbit hole to kind of research a little bit longer, we're kind of noticing a consistent pattern of Mohela upfront incorrectly qualifying payments that maybe were not qualified, meaning that maybe that borrower at that time wasn't in repayment, or maybe that borrower at the time wasn't in repayment, but maybe not working for that employer. And this could be for so many reasons why Mohela has made this mistake. So feel free to chime in. But my suspicions are, like, you know, it could be anything from the Fed loan to Mohela transfer that occurred for borrowers over the last, like, you know, year and a half to 2 years, and just data incorrections. But also Mohela just, I think at the time period, just kind of like over aggressively not doing any kind of quality assurance on their qualification, because a lot of these borrowers are unconfirmed that they really didn't have 120. And they just kind of rolled with what Mohela is, maybe just saying like, yeah, they should know, they're the government agency, they're the servicer, right? Like, they're working for the Department of Education here, they know best. But I think, you know, a common theme on our podcast, at least, right, is that Mohela is, I'm sorry, that you should kind of have to be like your self-advocate, right, with these servicers. And so sometimes when you see something that might be in your favor, it doesn't hurt to kind of dig a little deeper to see if that was actually correct. Because especially when it comes to forgiveness, it could come back to bite you. The government might make mistakes, but they will eventually reconcile. Servicers will reconcile.
So Sam, I kind of want to take the TLDR of what you just said, because yeah. I know for people listening out there, their hearts probably just dropped at the thought of I made it to 120 and like my forgiveness can be taken from me. What the TLDR is, they are not reversing forgiveness for folks who actually qualify for forgiveness. It is only if you did not actually have the 120 and it was quote unquote error in your favor, but you didn't actually earn it. Those are the cases where you may see an audit and have that reversed back to what is correct. And so, like Sam was saying, you kind of have to just stay vigilant and advocate for yourself.
Everyone's sensitive to panic about all things PSLF, because every single one of us and every single one of you had always seen those articles and headlines, 99% denial rate, this, that. And we know tons has changed and tons have been improved. And we've seen as a team hundreds of millions in forgiveness and know it's hundreds of billions out there. But it's so easy to get scared and what we just described is everyone's worst nightmare. But it's honestly no surprise. I think it's really scary and unfortunate for those few it happened to. But the analogy I always remind people of is student loan servicers are to mistakes as the ocean is to water. It's just kind of unavoidable within the territory. Unfortunately, a mistake that looks like it plays out in your favor, then ultimately not working out happened. I don't think this has impacted any of the clients we've worked with as far as we know, but I do know from past consultations that someone told me a few clients, I have X credits from Mohila, and going through their employment history and their loan data file, I'm like, yeah, you should have X minus 15. So I have no idea where X existed. You haven't even had your loans for that long. So they must have made some error, and I've kind of pre-coached them to guard their heart that PSLF credits can't just magically appear out of nowhere. So if
Unless
you
you're
have more
Mohela.
PSLF credits, yeah, unless you have Mohila. So if you have more PSLF credits than you've even had months in repayment or qualifying service, then something's wrong, and just guard your heart. And this is why we always remind and encourage everybody to recertify annually for PSLF and at the change of any employer, and make sure everything lines up from qualifying payments and ineligible payments with your employment history there and your borrower portal, and do some self auditing and advocating and avoid the nightmare.
I was all doom and gloom, right? And I don't want to scare anybody too. I want to be fair. Like, I'm talking about a few edge cases here that have just come together more recently, I want to say. And so for most of our, I don't, Ben, you can speak to this. Sometimes when I'm reviewing a file with a client, it's more that they're missing verification that needs to be there, not that there is magic verification in qualifying employment there.
So let's clarify the word, though, that Ben just said, because he said recertify, and we're specifically talking about employment, your employment certification form. The other issue that we are talking about is income recertification. This is the big, I'm going to use a Yiddish word, balagan. This was a mess. This is a cluster F that they messed up. Ben, you've had to deal with this with a lot of clients. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what the issue is with the recertification date and how you have had to deal with Mohela personally?
Yeah, for those of you in the know and somehow able to keep up, whether through being here or studentaid.gov pages and announcements, the announcement that had been out there for months was that if you had an IDR anniversary date listed prior to March 1st, 2024, that it needed to be pushed back a full calendar year. Meaning, if you're in an income-driven repayment plan, the deadline by which you need to have recertified your payment so they can change your payment for the next 12 months ahead or keep you in the plan was supposed to be pushed back from anything in February 2024 or sooner was supposed to be 2025, or push back that full calendar year. I've seen a lot of data files for student loans where the IDR anniversary date was reported as February, and it was that way in the prior year and the prior year, and when the loans are with Fed loans. But then all of a sudden, the letters start coming in that say, you got to recertify right now. And we'd know this was an error because we'd tell them, hey, look, on this announcement page, it tells you may get communication showing a date earlier than March. It will be pushed back. But then if you talk to your lovely servicer at Mohila and you're brave enough to sit on hold for 1 to 20 million hours and go through that lovely call music, they will tell you, no, we are requiring you to recertify by March, or we're going to change your payment from whatever IDR plan it had been set at for the entire payment pause to generally they warn you about your level or standard 10-year payment, maybe thousands of dollars relative to thousands of dollars higher than what your IDR payment was. And Mohila is taking this really strong stance in the sand. I probably spanned 20 reps myself, and I'm sure beyond our clients, literally, I would assume hundreds and hundreds of hours were wasted with these frustrations and going from reps to management to other management. And the IDR anniversary date is the deadline by which you need to have everything already in process for them so they can switch the payment. They were claiming that they never give you this information and that they show your NSLDS data file as just some arbitrary, not totally arbitrary, but about 35 days before or 90 days before your actual IDR anniversary date. And they had been deflecting all of these borrowers to tell them, no, your actual IDR anniversary date wasn't in February, like we reported to you in your borrower portal and like we did on your NSLDS. What we got from Fed loans was different. and it's actually later. So you do have to recertify now, and your payment will go from maybe a couple hundred to a couple thousand, strictly against the guidance of the Department of Education and their bosses at studentaid.gov to report you the real date and then do what you were supposed to. They were kind of just making things up, and tons of complaints were getting filed for this. CFPB, Student Aid Ombudsman, and the Ombudsman was just swamped and ultimately started getting back to people saying it's your servicer's job to handle this. And some people were left similarly with the CFPB. So we know there's been a lot of frustration, anger, confusion, and mass miscommunication on these IDR anniversary dates. But at least now everybody can get the breath of fresh air that it's being pushed back a handful of months. And hopefully it's not as chaotic for when they resume late fall. And you need to maybe look at what your IDR anniversary date was when you were with FedLoans prior to getting transferred to MOHELA. So if it is terribly messed up beyond what the Department of Education and Federal Student Aid tells your servicer to do, that you can advocate for yourself to get the right thing done so you don't end up paying more than you need to sooner than you need to. Man, I was angry.
Sorry, Ben's got some personal. How many minutes on hold do you think you've had in the last, like, 2 months?
Oh, how many lifetimes have I had on hold? And it's really far too many. And I shouldn't even be complaining, because I joined a few clients on calls with student loan servicers, really for science and exploration, because it's really frustrating for us as your guys mm-hmm. consultants. We care about you and we want to give you good advice. It's terrible to tell you the right thing and how to go get it done. And then you go to get it done and it doesn't work. And then we tell you how to resolve it, and takes you hours of pain and confusion to try to resolve it. So I was like, let me take matters into my own hands. I got this. Boxing gloves are going on. And it was a freaking nightmare. It was like the worst experience ever across multiple times. And speaking the same language and knowing what I'm talking about, I thought it would be easy to get the job done on the phone. But while that made me feel stupid and frustrated, I felt not as stupid and frustrated when I realized how widespread these issues were. And I know we were just talking about this, but the Student Loan Borrower Protection Center, I think, well, I'll have to, you know, double check that acronym or name, but a few nonprofits and other groups have collected massive numbers of complaints against MOHELA and started to draft some MOHELA papers. And there's really complaints all over the internet. But it was found out internally that they may have been, in just an opinion and from stuff reading online, but involved in training their reps on literally call deflection instead of like servicing their customers. So they're trained to kind of waste your time and get you off the phone, which, if true, is so wildly unacceptable and shocking. Like
ethically unacceptable.
So let me give you guys a pro tip, because I have gone down this route myself. My husband has his loans with MOHELA, and of course they messed things up when we were trying to get a refund of payments made during COVID, and we didn't need the refunds, but I'm like, you know, I help clients, so I want to know firsthand what this is like. And they took over 90 days. So we filed a complaint. And during our process of being on hold with MOHELA, they would just hang up on us. And so what I figured out by call number three, which at that point it had been, you know, several hours and lifetime of gray hairs, is that you need to start the call by immediately asking for that employee's rep code or rep ID. What is your name? What is your rep ID? And start a documentation, a paper trail right away, before you kind of escalate from there. So that way you're going to show your due diligence and everything that you've done to try to resolve the issue. And so by the time we filed a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, I did gather this information. I had dates, times, numbers, very specific information. With the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, just a little insight into the process, the entity against whom you are filing a complaint, they have 60 days to respond. And guess how long MOHELA took to respond to us? 59. They took 59 days and they said, you know, we've resolved the issue. We got the refund. Okay. And then what did they do after we got the refund? The balance on the loan was totally wrong. It's like they made up a number and they pulled it out of thin air. I promise I'm a nice person in real life, except when it comes to student loans. So I filed a second complaint with the Congressperson's Constituent Services Office. So I went a different route there, and then they were able to get that resolved. But it really just helps to pay attention, keep records of what you've done and when you've done it.
And for people who think like this is potentially some unethical stuff that's happening, because we think, oh, it's just because Mahela wants to make it harder for us to just have lower payments or not make payments at all, or just get our money back. Even if you're trying to pay them, they can be problematic. I actually have a friend. There are, if you work for like the AmeriCorps, you can get payment towards your student loans. And I had someone who had like a remaining, like she had like a remaining balance of like 3,000. And when payments restarted in September, she was like, hey, I'm going to take the $3,000 money that I have from the AmeriCorps to actually pay off my loans. Talk about hanging up. Every time she, you know, she was just to get the payment from like one processor to another processor, took over 3 months. Think about just sending your money from one bank to another bank. And then every time she would call to check on it, she would get hung up on or redirected. I think one day she spent on hold like 4 or 5 hours and then hung up. So it's just like, it is like widespread. So I don't think they have like a personal agenda on one item. I think it's just unfortunate problems that are accumulating.
So if you relate to any of these experiences, if it helps to know, no, you're not going crazy. It's just happening a lot. And it's really frustrating. And you could feel really alone. People being told they'd be called back and not getting called back, hours of hold, misinformation. And I don't think any of us want to assume that there is something inherently bad going on where anyone means to do ill will. I think, and before I know our podcast and Travis has covered this, is the, I think, workload dumped on Mohela in this rapidly and ever-changing environment of student loans that overwhelms us at times, and we're fast and great to adapt, but this is an intense area that's been problematic for a long time where communication has historically been an issue. Servicers telling people the right thing has historically been an issue. The DOE effectively communicating student loan change and guidance has historically been an issue. This isn't all new, and this is why a lot of the temporary changes, like years back, the public service loan forgiveness waiver and the IDR adjustment and waiver going on now for 1.5 more months. So don't forget if you still need to take advantage of it. But the reason those programs were created, like it was clear from the original announcements and memos on them, that it was to address a long-standing history of failures in communicating the right things and in student loans being too gosh darn unintendedly complex. And so a lot of those problems are dumped on Mohela's lap. Are there better things to do than potentially organizing call deflection schemes? I sure hope so. But they've got a few more months to figure out at least this piece.
Yeah, to a certain extent, you, at least in beginning, you are sympathetic to maybe Mohela's cause. During the pandemic, Fed Loan was like, we're out. Bye. You're in charge now. And basically, you know, Mohela was now in charge of the whole PSLF program and took on a bunch of borrowers at the on-ramp of payments starting up at 3.5. Meanwhile, we're going to like, hey, let's release save August 1st. You got to do this at the same time as that. And we're still doing these account adjustments. And so we're going to continue to make extensions or continue to just pivot how we're putting the wording out on student aid, right.gov. And then generally with the lack of funding with, you know, Department of Education and their ability, maybe that is influencing their lack of ability to be directing communication of how, because I think about how like the last 3 months with Mohela would be a lot less frustrating if they just told us about how they're doing their 90-day, 35-day, their 10-day IDR recertifications.
I think that's a really kind context that you've provided, Sam, too, because at the end of the day, it's true that when you're talking with someone, it's just a person at the end of the line and they're doing the best they can with the resources they have, which is not much. They're pretty strapped with all the things that they've been tasked to do. There hasn't been increased funding. There isn't the staffing available. So
we generally are working with people on the phone that are overworked, underpaid, and they are essentially sounds like putting new reps on the phone who you haven't really necessarily been fully trained or at least confidently fully trained. Like I've had clients report to me that when they call in and they do get a person, the person right up front tells them like, hey, I'm newer to the phone. Please pardon me as I work through this with you, which to a certain extent, I appreciate that transparency, but that's got to be a really hot seat to be in.
I'm glad that they started doing that. I didn't know that that was a thing. So I learned something on our call today. I think that's so honest to just be upfront about what you're able to help someone with.
Whatever training and organization is going on there needs some fixes, needs some changes. I talked to a big mix of reps. A few have been really nice and competent. A few, and I use that word seriously, a small few. But even then, I've had issues where they totally understand what I'm saying and want, and then they are messaging a manager that you can't speak with, but that is telling them what to tell us, which is wrong. And it is, whoo. So
Ben, as the master Mohila phone person at this point, would you say that compared to like pre-pandemic or calling in and getting a manager when you need it, that's kind of from like our playbook is get the manager, get the supervisor, like, you know, talk to them. Do you feel like it's harder to get that supervisor now than it has been in the past?
I find that the supervisor is always being talked to by another supervisor, for at least what I've had to do, and that you can't get the answers unless this is part of the supposed deflection, but you can't get the answers from the person who's actually giving them. So my issues with the IDR anniversary dates and what you just brought up with, you have 90 days before your IDR anniversary date as the soft time frame for when your servicer is going to start reaching out to you about recertifying for your IDR plan and reminding you of that IDR anniversary date. Generally, all of your income information is due 35 days prior to your actual IDR anniversary date, and 10 days prior to that actual deadline is the deadline for having done the paperwork and turning in your income documentation to make sure for that deadline the payment can switch moving forward. That is how student loans work. That is how income-driven repayment plans work. Those are the rules, but Mohila just makes things up and they maybe don't show you the IDR anniversary date. Maybe they're showing you one of those soft dates before. So when it's time for IDR recertification, use your past data, use servicer communications, use your borrower portal, use NSLDS. And if those things all give you a consistent and accurate answer, you're probably in the right place and you probably don't need to call them and be tortured. But if things are not aligned across those pieces and you're confused and you don't know what to do, you may need a Mohila rep ultimately to give you some resolution, or you could end up recertifying sooner than you need to. But for now, we know that is not until late fall 2024 rather than March 2024.
So let's pivot then to some of the other issues we've been seeing with Mohila as far as delays. Sam, can you speak to that a little bit that you've seen with your clients?
Well, yeah, sure thing. So I think, you know, right now, and I love Ben's plug earlier about the IDR waiver, right? Remember, that was also extended till April 30th. So if you're in the process of thinking of considering consolidation, you have until then to kind of take the benefits, take advantage of the benefits. But because of that, we're seeing more consolidations right now. And we have been probably for the last year and a half, and even dating back to the PSLF waiver in 2022. And to make sure, you know, we're speaking the same language here, when you're consolidating, you're essentially taking all of the loans, smushing them together, getting a new direct consolidation loan. So that means like the old loans are actually getting paid off, right? And then you get a new loan with the balance that was previously on those loans. And for and a couple other servicers, but Mohila's consolidations are actually processed by Aid Advantage, which is another servicer. And so that's, I think, generally just a confusing thing when you're going through a consolidation, when you're getting notifications from a servicer that is not yours. But I think for Mohila's case, that is actually causing extra delay. So our normal time frame, and when I say normal times back before the war, it was probably 30, 40 days to do the whole process of, you know, consolidate, get into an income-driven repayment plan and be good to go. But I've had Mohila lose consolidations. I've had Mohila confirm that like, yeah, they've received the consolidation and then not proceed to be able to complete it through taking it to Aid Advantage and back for, you know, upwards of 60, 75 days. Which is, you know, way longer extension than you would think, and something that's normally processed. So setting timeline expectations right now, especially with them, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. And yeah, you know, I got that note from Lauren, who's been calling Mohila Wild Wild West probably for 5-6 months now.
Yeah, she's not wrong about that. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of delays just in those consolidations, the processing times, the employment certification forms. It is the Wild West because we'll see someone, you know, who does this. I got someone, you know, they emailed me and they're like, oh, they processed it in like 2 weeks. And I'm like, what? It's like that mind blown emoji, right? I'm like, log into Mohila right now and share your screen with me. I've been telling people expect wait times of up to 4 months. And if there's been no forward progress with that, probably just resubmit it or reach out to them. Let's talk a little bit about the teacher forgiveness too. I know this is a smaller group, but this is another area that we're seeing some delays in.
Yeah, similar to just normal public service loan forgiveness delays too. I think normally when you reach your magic number, it can take, there's that lag, 2 to 3 months Right now we're seeing that get pushed upward of 4 to 5 months, like, you know, getting even longer. And I just think it's just general processing delays at this point, because if you've ever done any type of forgiveness requesting and verification through Mohela, you're familiar with probably what is called the processing screen, where it tells you your thing has been actually received, it's processing, and then there's like this process status. If you've learned probably that process, you have trust issues, it doesn't actually mean it's processed. My take is that when it switches from, you know, processing is like, hey, it's in our queue and we're like, we're working it. And process, I've kind of interpreted as, hey, you know, everything you've sent in your verification form makes sense. It tracks. We're going to accept it for now. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the payment tracker is updated to reflect that those payments are now qualifying, right, with the employer. And so that itself, from when it's processed, the status change of going to processed and actually seeing your payment tracker updated, can that itself can have a lag of 1 to 2 months on Mohela. And then from there, if you're actually attaining forgiveness, once that tracker is even updated, you might still have another month or two before that actually gets forgiven, right? So typically looking at anywhere from when you see that form is received and in processing, 3 to 4 months from there.
Once you've done all the right things, not driving yourself crazy, but being accountable and paying attention to what's happening is important. We kind of joke it's six-figure patience when you're waiting on a big pile of forgiveness, and that loss of control for something that's so impactful can feel scary and alarming. But oftentimes there is nothing more you can do to make anything any more clear or happen any faster, right? There's no formal cue of where is your forgiveness app in line with all the others? What are they doing processing yours right now? That's not really clear. And as much as the averages are pushed back, there are things that happen sooner and later. I know one of the things that blew my mind in an exciting and dually frustrating way was two people submitted for PSLF same month, one still waiting. The other's loans had been forgiven and they got their refund of overpayments that was made beyond the 120 already processed back to them from the Treasury. Because if you overpay for PSLF, even after applying for that 120th payment and you keep paying, you actually get that money refunded back too.
I get a lot of this info and I'm picking up on, because I get a lot of questions, whether it's in the teachers or education staff admin Facebook group, where we have a lot of people asking, you know, hey, I've reached 120, and they'll show like a picture of the payment tracker, right? Like, what do I do now? First of all, congratulations, you've done it. It's going to happen, especially if you can verify all 120 is actually 120. But sometimes people, Mohela will actually put them in forbearance. But when you actually submit your final employer verification on student aid, there is a forbearance, and correct me guys if this has changed, there is a forbearance selection option, like, hey, I've attained 120, please put me in forbearance while we wait for this to process.
As long as they're direct loans. If the loans are spell loans and you're in the process of consolidating them, it might not let you check that box. You might have to do it a different way.
Good point. But for some reason, if you didn't select that, if you want to bear calling Mohela to request that forbearance, but you're welcome to do that. But because, you know, you don't have to necessarily make payments after 120, but like as Ben said, and this is something that's kind of been the case, you will get it refunded. So anything above that 120, or you should get it refunded, anything above that 120.
In the last few minutes that we have here, let's talk about like the crazy timing of all of these changes. We're like right in the middle of tax season. People are still filing their taxes. What does this mean for people? What should they be doing right now as they consider like how to file?
We're always going to be more cautious here than not. And I think kind of like our internal mantra is always kind of like other professions, do no harm. And so we're kind of consider like, hey, maybe you should file your taxes as though you might need to recertify this at some point this year in 2024. Even though historically, you know, you might, given the kind of information that's been released, like you would kind of assume that your anniversary date, if it fell between March 1st and September 30th, is going to get pushed out a year. It sounds like no one will be forced to recertify before that. But what happens in September if you are forced to recertify? So making sure you're protected using your correct tax form or however process you want to do. But I know we can nerd out here in tax strategies. So I'll let Ben speak to a little bit more of this too, if he wants to add a different element.
I just think for a lot of you listening who've had income go up or factors go up that would cause your payment to go up significantly from where they were set at previously, or particularly from 2022's income and adjusted gross income rather than 2023's, with the IDR certifications being pushed back to fall, And that 90-day window when you can submit payment info within your IDR anniversary date, for a lot of you, it's probably going to make sense to consult your tax professional about if filing an extension would work, where the return isn't due until mid-October, but any taxes owed would still be owed for the normal tax deadline. So consult your tax pro, but the benefit from a student loan perspective of an extension is that if your 2023 income is going to be higher than what you could use for 2022, then if you've already filed your return come this fall when you're due to recertify, you're going to have to show that higher number and higher payments. But if you could still use 2022's income, and if that would be better for you, to make sure you consider doing that. And then if not, as Sam was saying, protect yourself to assume, if you, especially if you don't know your IDR anniversary date, that you're going to have to recertify this year, and make tax decisions in line with that and how that's going to affect your payments until you could next file. So good conversations to make sure your tax planner and student loan decisions are fully aligned, particularly with these changing timelines. Maybe you made some decisions, maybe you got to rethink.
Kind of pivot, you know, every day, just new information makes you have to pivot your strategy with student loans.
Well, guys, we covered a lot of stuff today. Is there anything else people need to know about Mohela, Mo Problems?
No, I think we covered, I think me and Ben could have probably like another hour and a half here, but I think it's fair. But also want to shout out to Meredith from the team, who's actually the idea for the Mohela, Mo Problems name for today.
Yes, thank you, Meredith. Well, all right, guys, this was a great discussion. If you're out there listening and you're frustrated, you need help with a plan, you need someone to vent to, check out studentloanplanner.com, subscribe to our newsletter. And if you need some extra attention, you can book a consult with one of our lovely team members. With that, I bid you a good day and good luck.